George took a road trip this weekend.
Yeah, that's two road trips in 2 weeks. That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most we've traveled here in the last year or so. Yeah, I went to Austin to see my oldest son. It's around the time of his birthday. In fact, his birthday is today. So, happy birthday, Brent.
Well, it's the day I blew out my ankle, too, isn't it?
I was going to ask you if you remembered that. Yeah. Yes, the same day that we had our first son, you blew out your ankle, and you claimed that you were in more pain than my wife.
Yes, I believe I was.
They hurt, those sprained ankles. There's no doubt about it, especially when you blow them out like that. I don't know. It may have been close. But we went down in Austin, and Gordon mentioned this because he's traveled down Austin way here in the last couple of weeks, and we've talked about how that drive has changed down 35. That 35 is the worst that it's ever been, I think, as far as just condition of the road.
Yeah.
With potholes, especially around Waco, is such a mess. And that's why we were joking earlier about the Nutella spilling out on 35 last night in that storm. At least maybe that filled up a couple of potholes. I guess it's because of the rain. It's been made worse here the last few weeks or so. But golly, the road condition is just terrible going down there. That is not nearly the easy drive that it used to be down to Austin. It's just so darn stressful now.
I didn't
driving
experience
all that traffic.
Oh, okay. You're talking about through the Waco area.
Waco and just traffic in general was just, on a Friday, I thought it was just terrible going down. But we had a great time once we got there. Had interaction with a P1 kind of on Saturday. We went to a distillery in the town of Dripping Springs. When I went to school in Llano, we once played there. I think they're a 5A school now. They were 2A back then. But we went to a Sotol distillery. You guys ever had that spirit before, Sotol?
Sotol?
Uh-huh.
What is that?
It's made from a plant that's grown in Mexico and I think New Mexico. It's really good, especially when you mix it with some grapefruit juice.
Will you please stop drinking so much?
It's a really tasty drink.
Particularly with your kids. Why are you drinking with your children?
Do you need help?
No. We were just enjoying a nice day on a patio. Actually, it was starting the storm was moving in. But we were just enjoying some Sotol drinks and had a nice conversation. And then I got another awesome drink delivered to me with a note that said, "Didn't want to bother you out in the wild, but wanted to buy you a drink. P1 Day 1, Shelly." So thank you to Shelly for passing a drink. And I looked to find her.
Why is Shelly feeding your addiction, though? If she truly cares about the musers, she would not be buying you alcohol.
She was not feeding any sort of addiction, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I see her as an enabler.
Yes. She was not an enabler. But that was great. We had a really nice time there. And that's when Norm had called me, or I'd called Norm, then he called me back about the Kentucky Derby, and I could barely hear him.
Oh, my gosh, another gambling, another vice here. You're gambling.
While drinking, you got Norm on the line to put some money on the Derby for you.
I wanted to make sure that he got me down for the Derby.
While getting drinks from strange women. Your life is out of control.
Or awesome. The bestest ever, if you want to look at it that way.
And how fast do you think you went at some point on I-35? 70? 75.
Oh, he was going faster than that. He was
so driving at
90.
Add driving at a high rate of speed to all of that.
Okay, doing coke off speeding. The dashboard.
I was not speeding.
Punching the roof.
Although, it does seem like the pace speed on 35 now is 80 miles an hour.
The pace speed?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's
at
generally
least,
the pace.
And at not, least.
And if you're not doing that, then you are getting passed. If you're doing 79, 80.
I'm always leading the triple digit brigade.
Man,
I'll always have a few cars behind me drafting. We all take turns pulling.
Okay. So that was a nice time. And thanks to P1 Shelly for the drink. It was really tasty and it was nice. And then before we went out to dinner, we watched the Kentucky Derby. My son said, "Oh, by the way, I now own a horse." I said, "Wow, that's great." He said, "It's a virtual horse, though." And now this is a thing. He's got a virtual horse that he bought. And apparently you can spend as much as you want on this. There are some who pay thousands of dollars for these virtual horses. Tens of thousands of dollars if you want to go that high. His didn't cost anywhere near that. But he owns this horse. And you can run a race or races. Best I could figure, it's when everyone gathers on this site and they say they want to race, and once you get the 12 and you say that you're one of those who want to race, you're in a race. And we got to watch him race. I guess this was actually Friday night when we watched one of these virtual races, and yeah, you can bet on him if you want to.
Who controls the speed of the horse? Like, do you pay more for faster horses?
Yes, or, yes, you pay more. These horses who have results, the way I understand it, and his horse is now gaining results. He had 2 seconds and a fourth over the weekend, so I would think that would help him be a better virtual horse. And I guess someone, I said, so someone can now buy this horse from you? Yeah, technically, if I put him up for sale, I guess I could.
Interesting. Okay, I got a lot of questions, though. So how often do they race? Can you race every 2 minutes if you want to?
Once they get to, you go to that site, and once you get to 12 and you're one of those who's in, then you got yourself a race. And then all the horses get, you know, taken to the gate and off they go.
Might you wait an hour for the 12 gates to fill, or are they always filling all the time?
No, it took a while for the gates to fill up for him to race. And with each race, there is a fee that you pay, a racing fee.
Mm-hmm. I figured.
So I wondered, okay, you paid for this horse. Who did you pay? Well, he paid the service, these results. Or when you get in on a race, I think it's $2.50 a race. So if you have millions of people who are buying these horses and racing these horses, who are the two dudes in a basement who's running this thing?
They're raking it in.
Why they have to be in a basement? I guarantee you they got a nice place.
Or an office space in New York or wherever this is.
So it's one central company that you buy the horse from.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to also buy a horse from another individual who's bought from the company, right?
I'm sure there's a lot of different, yes, you can do that too.
And this company, they do everything, right? They sell the horses, they organize the races.
Yeah.
Are there other platforms you can run your digital horse on?
That I don't know, and I'm sure there's a number of different platforms. This happens to be the one that he's in on, and I'm sure there's a bunch of them out there.
I'm telling you, things are going to get more like this. I mean, you're going to have a portable digital asset like this horse,
yes,
that you can then carry to different companies' racetracks, and it runs on some algorithm that perhaps can get better, so your horse can get faster.
Yeah,
you can train it.
Well, I thought about that for those who follow horse racing, who are into it. This may just be a side thing, but right now they don't have jockeys with them. I think they're trying to develop that.
That's the other thing. Yeah, you'd have to hire a jockey to be on it.
Right.
It's a different digital asset. Yeah.
This is really interesting to me. It's definitely the future. If you're buying a horse, for example, if the horse is $10,000, you're getting a fast horse, but maybe you can only afford a $500 horse that's going to be slower, but you're never going to win any races unless it's...
There must be a way that you can train the horse or alter it in some way.
That's what I said. Or do you just have to have the luck of getting into a race where there aren't any of those $10,000 horses? It's just a bunch of $500 horses.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. And I think some of these platforms...
I'm going to call him right now.
I've seen some of the virtual racing. They do actually have jockeys. They have better graphics than maybe the one that he's in. And those are the ones where they have betting. You can bet on those.
Mm-hmm. So that's another one. Could he go to some random race, not race his horse, but bet on... Why would you want to do that, by the way? But anyway, bet on the race.
I guess so. He has no control over the horse. The horse just goes to the gate, and the result is the result.
Right.
Based on the other horses that he's up against, and they do, I guess they've virtually run them already in thousands of races. Therefore, that's how they determine the results. But I could see the future of this as it gets better, and if you can't get enough of them, you don't have to worry about weather knocking out the day of racing somewhere because the weather's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You'll always have this in other sports, basketball, or we're gonna have virtual football games, I guess, and We're going to have Abe Lincoln and George Washington as the jockeys, whoever you want. We're just going to create this virtual, virtual sports world, too, in addition to the NF, you know, the Top Shot, where you've got just these video clips. We're going to have this virtual sports world, and I wonder what that's going to look like, and is that going to eat into our reality sports world?
I do think it will eat into it. Esports is only increasing. I know that's a little bit different than what we're talking about here.
Thing. Yeah, mm-hmm.
But it's still in that vein of things, and when you can field a digital football team of players that will be like, they're like humans, but they're in the digital world.
Yeah.
And they'll have attributes, and you'll have drafts, and you're going to have players that can improve. You can do things to improve their algorithm to make them faster. Already in games, and I don't know too much about this because I'm not a big gamer, but you already have digital assets in games that people in the real world pay money for and that get the ownership transferred to them that they can then use in the game, like a sword or some weapon that actually has real world value that you pay actual dollars for.
I know.
But it is an asset that only exists in cyberspace, but you use it. I said, talk like an oldie there, in cyberspace.
I know.
But you use it in the virtual world.
And him trying to explain it to me was really, I mean, he's
trying
really,
to teach algebra to a cow.
That's a good way to look at it. With each passing, I was going to say year, but maybe it's each passing week, I get further out of touch with what his generation is up to. And as I try to understand it, it is just, I mean, I feel like the guy in the Progressive commercial. Are we hashtagging right now? What exactly are we doing as we're watching this virtual horse race? I'm not downplaying it. It was fun. It was entertaining. I certainly think if you pay X amount for a movie or whatever, you're paying money for entertainment. It was entertaining. I don't know if I could stick with it for weeks and months and, you know, a year before you'd want to sell the horse, but it's fun for him. And I think it's really interesting. And I think we're just scratching the surface of what this is going to become. Yeah. I think
it's going to be huge. And like I said, I think it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Because we're more and more of us are spending more and more of our time online anyway.
Yeah.
That's the world that's important to us.
You do need to have a talk with him, because he also had a lot of hot sports opinions on the things that you guys talk about every day.
I'll call him today.
You ought to call him today.
I'll call him today just to get him to try to explain what you're trying to talk about in this segment.
I think I gave you enough. I think I gave you enough of my understanding of it. That's what I could gather from it. The other thing I was struck by in going to Austin, then we went to a couple places just outside the city. I've only lived in the Hill Country for 5 years of my life, or that area. That's where I was born, San Antonio, and then we moved there and lived about 60 miles west of Austin for a couple of years.
But yeah, most of your life was the Chicago Hill Country.
Most of my life is right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, as you know. We've both been here for 41 years now, so most of it's been here. I did spend some time up north, but it's weird. This is technically my hometown. This is home because I've been here longer than any other place. But I still feel like when I go to the Hill Country, especially the areas just outside of Austin where you can see the hills and it just has that certain fresh smell to it, that is home to me. I don't know if I'll ever live there again. I've always thought about maybe living there in Central Texas again. But maybe it is because that's where you're born, or where you maybe just have really good memories, whatever that is. Maybe that's why when you drive through Amarillo, Jr., you didn't live there very long, but maybe you even get that feeling there. Or do you feel like Oklahoma City is home because that's... But where do you stand and think, this feels like home? Is it here because you've spent the most time here?
No, I think it's very individual, but... For me, I have always felt this incredibly strong pull, and it's a large area, but to the Texas Panhandle, New Mexico, West Texas, Big Bend region. I know that's a big swath of land, but there's something about driving through that part of Texas. It is godforsaken in the Panhandle, but I've always felt closest to that land, or northern New Mexico or Big Bend, than any place else. Even Oklahoma City, where I spent most of my childhood, Dallas, where I've spent 40 years of my life, other spots around the country that I love. There's just something, and I do believe there is something to where we are born.
Yeah.
That there's just, it's in our DNA. It's hard to explain, but you always kind of feel at home there. I only spent 6 months in Amarillo. Of course, got that email last week from that panhandle resident who thought that I was showing kids the way out of the panhandle, and I should be lauded for that, and I appreciate that, that I went on to make something of my life. I escaped the panhandle. But there's something about the panhandle when I drive back through it, it's, I don't know, just comforting. It's home. I can't explain it.
I think that is about where you're born, though. And it probably is a very individual thing. Some people may have been born in a certain place and doesn't mean a darn thing to them.
See, I don't think mine is.
Where do you feel like home?
I think it's in the pine trees in Mississippi.
Okay.
You know, I was born west. So I was born in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent my elementary school years in Mississippi, and my grandparents were from there and so on. So I spent a lot of time there. After, even when we didn't live there, even when we lived in Texas, we'd always go back there. And there's something about that landscape that makes me feel most at home.
That would have been my guess for you, by the way.
Yeah.
Just based on what you've said over the years.
I even feel it when I hit the pine line over there, you know, sort of east of Canton. Where is it? Somewhere in there around Canton.
Yeah, where you start seeing pine trees again.
Yeah, I automatically feel different.
Mm-hmm.
It feels much more home-like.
Yeah. Well, maybe ask yourself that question. Where is home to you? And I think it is just the memory thing, and maybe it's a Texas thing for me, too, because we would always come back here and visit even when we lived up north. And we would eventually wind up in the hill country. We'd see my grandparents, but we would go down to the hill country quite a bit. And that's where I've spent, you know, most of my life is going down there. And that's where I started. My life was down there in the hill country.
The hill country of Chicago.
Hill country of Wheaton, Illinois. Yeah, that's it.
All right, 8:33 on the ticket. This is big. Yeah. I understand that coming up next, we're going to talk to your son's virtual horse.